Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
And Jeremiah 23, 28, the Lord goes on to say, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other." Satan builds a lie by taking truth. He'll take certain truths and mix it, twist it, and build a lie. And that's what they were doing. Hananiah came in, and he took Jeremiah's yoke off. He threw it down before the king and shattered it. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, we're not going to go through that tribulation period." Well, as he was saying that, man, the captivity was already starting. And it said Hananiah, God put him to death. He died within a year. And of course, the kingdom of Judah went into trial for 70 years. And right now, too, we want to hear the sweetness. We're not appointed God's wrath. Praise God. We preach that all the time. We preach the cross. I just spent the first part of the service talking all about God's sweetness and his grace and his mercy and his love in the book of Revelation, enumerating from chapter 1 to chapter 22. But we can't ignore the other parts, the bitterness that John talks about. And we want to talk about not appointed wrath of God, but we want to ignore the scriptures that talk about being appointed to tribulation. And like Hananiah, pretend that we're not going to go through anything. That's a picture, by the way. What's really crazy, if you don't accept bitterness now, it's going to get more bitter later. Because if you're not ready to suffer and struggle, you don't face these realities that John had to digest, then you're going to be in total shock when they go down. That's why Jesus said, "I'm telling you these things ahead of time so that when they come to pass, you will not fall away." In other words, if he didn't tell us ahead of time and prepare us, we'd fall away. Well, guess what? The church is not being prepared. We're being told there's no bitterness for us in the future in regard to the Great Tribulation. Don't worry. We're out of here. But God says his word is like a fire. It's like a hammer. So it gets in you. It's like a fire. And you got to let the fire out. You got to pull the hammer out. And then Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Listen, "For each time I speak, says Jeremiah, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction," because he's prophesying, "because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long." Now notice what happens. He eats God's word. I quoted from Jeremiah earlier, 15, 16. He preaches it, but it results in reproach and derision all day long. So there's some bitterness because, well, the reaction's bitter. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. That's one of the reasons I see in the book of Revelation that there's a bitterness there. "But if I say, I will not remember him." So Jeremiah thinks, maybe I'll quit being a prophet. Maybe I'll quit being a preacher. "But if I say, I will not remember him," if I say that, "or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire," his word. "It becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." So Jeremiah's like, well, maybe I won't preach his word. If I think about that, then his word becomes like a burning fire, and I grow weary, I can't keep it in. I got to let it out, amen? And that's how it should be for us as Christians, amen? We devour his word, we eat his word, we feed on his word. And the more you do that, man, the more it becomes like a burning fire, man. You just want to share it with other people, amen? So feed on his word. Let it go into your heart, into your stomach, into your bones, man. And the more you feed on it, the more you're going to get excited and want to share it with others. At least the way that's the way it ought to be. You see, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And that's why Jeremiah is prophesying, you see. And in Mark 13, 9 and 10, it says, Jesus said, "Be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts." He's talking about the Great Tribulation in chapter 13. "And you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit." See, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things I've said to you as well. So God will bring scriptures to your heart and your mind. But he can't bring things to remembrance because you remember things you've already what? You've already read. Amen? That's how things come to remembrance. So if you're not in the Word, how many things can come to remembrance? You want to be in the Word, man. You want to be devouring it. You want to stand before kings. You want to stand before you got to look at it as an awesome opportunity if we're to go through that time. We'll have tribulation either way, but we won't necessarily, the great tribulation may not happen in our lifetimes. But whether it's general tribulation, or the great tribulation, you want to be in God's Word, amen? You want to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of being in the mystery of God as part of the kingdom of God, part of the body of Christ, and the privilege of being able to share that mystery with others. What a beautiful reality that is. Hallelujah. Amen. Why is it bitter, though? We talked a lot about why it's sweet. What are the reasons the Word of God is bitter, that scroll is bitter in John's, in his stomach? Number one, and this, I'm not going by priority here, just one through, I'm going to give you a few reasons. Number one, it's bitter, as I mentioned earlier, because of the rejection of Jesus, the rejection of God's Word. I mentioned where Jeremiah, he ate God's Word, and it became like a fire and a hammer, but he said he was met with derision. God told him he'd be met with derision and stubbornness, and that really hurt his heart. Nobody likes to be rejected, but when you realize what you have, the salvation of God, the saving message of the Word of God, and you know that's the only way somebody's be saved from eternal hell, and you give it to them, and you preach the good news of Jesus in the context of the new covenant, and people reject it, and you see that they're just committing spiritual suicide on like a grease pole to hell. They'd rather be on that pole, not realizing where it leads ultimately, and you know the truth. That's a hard pill to swallow. That's painful, isn't it? I mean, how many people have you shared the Word of God with and they rejected it? That's a painful experience. But we live in a real world with real consequences. And it's interesting. Turn, if you will, please, to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. If you go to the middle of your Bible and then turn to the right, it's a big book. You'll run into Ezekiel. Middle of your Bible will be Psalms. Go to your right. So many books. But it's interesting because here in Ezekiel chapter 2, we read something very interesting. And this is one of those cases where the book of Revelation is alluding to another book, which God provides background in his prophetic plan. In Ezekiel chapter 2, God warns Ezekiel that they're not going to listen to his message. Verse 1 of chapter 2, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you.' And he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people, who have rebelled against me. They stand and their fathers have transgressed. I'm sorry, they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for me, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them.'" They're going to know it, Ezekiel. "And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Those thistles," now check this out, "those thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions." Meaning it's going to be a bitter experience because they're just going to reject what you have to say. Can you imagine being among thorns and thistles on both sides and sitting on scorpions? Anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? Over here? Anybody else? Where's Leah? I know Leah was. Wasn't Leah stung by a scorpion? Really, really, really painful. Just take my word from what I hear, it's bad. And he says, even though, you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Verse 8, "Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it." Sound familiar? When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back. And written on it were lamentations. Notice what's written on it. Lamentations, mourning, and woe. Judgment. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel.'" Just as John was to eat, amen, the other scroll, which was the book of Revelation, and beyond that probably, and then he was to prophesy to peoples and nations, tongues, kings. Verse 2, "So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, 'Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Catch that? He ate it, and what was it? As sweet as honey in his mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of intelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. I mean, hey, you don't have to learn a whole new language as a missionary. You just go to them. That's where I'm sending you right now. And look at their response, verses 6 and 7. Nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand, but I have sent you to them who should listen to you. They should listen to you, right? He says, but look at verse 7. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Sometimes when people have the truth longer, it's a benefit for the remnant, those who get saved. But for those who are in the light for a long time, they take it for granted. And they begin to just make excuses not to follow the light, make arguments against the light so they can hold on to their sin. A lot of Europe had the gospel for a long time. It's one of the most obstinate, rebellious places in the world right now. The United States is becoming like Europe in that way. People were so open to the gospel here for so long. But in the last, 10, 15 years, it's getting harder and harder to share with people. But praise God, as I mentioned in my message last week, the gospel is sweeping through China, the biggest nation on the planet, population-wise, India, South and Central America, the whole continent of Africa, and many of the countries in Africa. We're in the last 20, 30 years, guys, the gospel has spread like no time on earth. So there's a sweetness there too, amen? But there's a bitterness of people that reject it. But don't lose heart. Don't think, okay, Americans, they're going to reject. No, there's a remnant. There's people that get saved here all the time still, that are receiving Christ, that are turning to Jesus. And it's an exciting time to live. Very, very exciting period of history. In fact, I'm looking for a quote right now from a gal by the name of Tara. She left a message. It's on one of our YouTube videos. And she left this message, and she says, okay, I just found your videos today and watched Beyonce and the Super Bowl one, and was blown away. Now this one, and my stomach is literally twisted and sick. Thank you for exposing this. Isn't that interesting? She said, my stomach is literally twisted and sick, because she's seen the icons that, I don't know where she was at, she doesn't give more than that, but so many people worship today. And they see the reality. Whoa, this is a deception. This is wicked what they're doing. And watch our videos, man. We show how Satan is using the demonic powers are using so many artists to deceive the masses. Just go to YouTube and just type in Beyonce Super Bowl. It's got, I think, 1.3 million views right now on that particular, just that one. Not to mention about 10 million plus altogether elsewhere with that one. But that's just part of the picture. She saw another video, but she said her stomach felt sick and twisted. But then right after, she says, thank you for exposing this. Why would she be thankful? Because the sweetness of truth, man. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? To realize that you don't have to be eating their poison pill. Amen? That there's freedom in Jesus.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
In my own estimation, I came up with, looking at it, saying, wow, there's three things that stick out to me. And one is the rejection of the gospel. That hurts the heart. That hurts the stomach when someone you love dearly, we all have people in our lives that we love dearly, family or friends, that reject the gospel. That hurts. That's part of life. We're not in heaven yet. It's not over yet. And it should hurt. If it doesn't hurt, we need to say, God, give me more compassion for people. Help me care more about people. Amen? So that's one thing to be concerned about. Now, it's interesting. Commentators, they like to point out that there's a difference between Ezekiel and Revelation. Of course, there's differences. But I like to point out one difference is that Ezekiel, when he eats the scroll, and it has to do with judgments at that time, of course, not the Revelation judgments, although it probably could look toward them as a picture, prophetic, that John eats them and they're sweet, but they also become what? Bitter. Here it's just sweet as honey. And I'm like, no, because I kept reading, through Ezekiel. And when you get to verse 15, look what happens to Ezekiel in chapter 3. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river of Chebar, in Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing what? Consternation among them. Well, let's back up a little bit, because he says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. After the sweetness, he became embittered. And the very next verse is there was consternation between him and the people. They were obstinate. They were rebellious toward the word. What's another reason that when you read the book of Revelation and when John settled in John's stomach, that there would be bitterness, like, ah, that hurts? Well, I'll say this, because in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of suffering, tribulation, persecution forecasted for God's people. In fact, in Revelation 7, let's go there. And I'm only going to read, I think, maybe just one verse here, because I don't want to spend too much time getting into the context. We've already studied this, but look at verse 14. I said to him, and this was a great company of people of every nation, people, and tongue that had come out of the great tribulation. I mean, they were in it, and then they came out of it, whether through suffering or what have you. And he sees them clothed in white, and he asks who they are. And he said, I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's sweetness and bitterness in that same verse. Sweetness, man. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. We can stand before God righteous. That's sweet, amen. But they came out of the great tribulation. And Jesus said this to the leaders of the early church, the apostles, if they were to live through that time. They died before that time, but he said, they'll deliver you to great tribulation. They'll deliver you to tribulation. He later calls it the great tribulation. He says, there'll be no time like it before or after. It'll be the worst of all times. That's horrific. That's worse than the Holocaust, folks. That's worse than what happened when Josephus records the Jewish wars and what happened in Israel that time, which was really horrific as well. It's going to be a horrific time. And many Christians, it says, those who are to be killed with the sword will be killed with the sword, and those who are to go into captivity will go into captivity. So many will be put to death. Others will be imprisoned. Others will be hiding in the mountains. It speaks of the book of Hebrews at the end of people who did not accept their release from their prison or from persecution in prison so they'd have a better resurrection. They wanted the resurrection of life. They didn't want to deny the Lord. And there'll be people in hiding. There'll be all kinds of crazy stuff. But we need to be real. The Bible talks about this, whether it happens in our lifetime or not. Pray for those who will go through it. And that way your prayers aren't wasted. That's a good way to pray. Pray for those who go through that time, that they'd endure. Because then if that's you, you're praying for yourself. If it's not you, your prayer's not wasted if you don't go through it and you prayed all that. People want to sidestep the tribulation period by saying, well, we're not appointed to God's wrath, so we're going to be out of here. Are the tribulation saints that we read about appointed to God's wrath here? Do they suffer from all these judgments from God, yes or no? No. So you could be on the earth. Obviously, the tribulation saints come out of the great tribulation. They were in it. They don't suffer from God's wrath. So that's a weak argument, because all kinds of God's people, when the Jews were, when the Israelites, the Hebrews were in Egypt and all the plagues were coming, did God smite all the Israelites from the wrath of God, the 10 plagues? No, he spared them. Even when there was darkness on the kingdom of Egypt, there was light in their dwellings, it says. That's awesome, amen? Praise God. But you know what? We're told we're not appointed to wrath, but you know what we are appointed to? 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Let's go there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And when you get there, it's interesting because this book is the same book that says we're not appointed to wrath. But look what it says in chapter 3, verse 3. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. You know what the Greek word there is? Phlipsis, T-H-L-I-P, flip, T-H-L-I-P, phlipsis. It's the common word used in the New Testament for tribulation, translated tribulation. Persecution, affliction, so that none of you would be disturbed by these afflictions or tribulations. For you yourselves know that we have been what? Destined for this. Even though we're not destined for God's wrath, we're destined for thlipsis. The Bible teaches that, for tribulation. Verse 4, for indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look what he says. I won't spend a lot of time here, but verse 1, now I request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Gathering together to him. What's that? The rapture. That you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit, that would be a demon, or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come, that he's already come. And the Greek is, has come to be at hand, meaning it's imminent, coming up real soon, any moment. Then verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. What won't come? Verse 1, Christ will not come to gather us together, to rapture us. It will not come unless what happens? The apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So don't be deceived into thinking that Jesus is going to come and gather us up, he's going to rapture us before two things happen first, the falling away of the church and the revelation of Antichrist. Most Christians that listen to Christian TV and Christian radio have been absolutely deceived, and it's been reversed. They've been deceived into thinking that the Christ is going to come gather us before the Antichrist. That's because people don't, they just want God's sweetness. Oh, he's coming back. Oh, we're not appointed wrath. Yeah, but it says we're appointed tribulation, and the scripture is really clear we're going through tribulation, and the church historically has warned about that, and you don't see any church statement of faith in any church before the 1800s of any pre-trib rapture. But you see the history of the church is laden with every theologian, for the most part, teaching that the church is going through tribulation or the second coming is at the end of the age. But what's happened is we live in a time when Paul said that many will heap up themselves, teachers will tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And I know, you know what? There's a lot of good, godly Christians that believe in a pre-trib rapture. It's an in-house dispute. And you can be pre-trib and you're still in love Jesus and praise God. We are appointed to tribulation. Paul in Acts 14:22 said this. Well, I'm sorry. Luke says of what Paul was doing in the believers, how they were, quote, strengthening the souls of the disciples. How were they strengthening the souls of the disciples? Encouraging them to continue in the faith. I do that a lot here, amen? You know why I do that? Because I know it encourages the believer to hold on, because I know you face a lot of trials and we need to know the truth. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It sums up the message of the early church. Continue the faith and we're gonna have to go through tribulation to enter the kingdom. That sums up a lot of the message at this fellowship. Oh, we get a lot of different things like, you know, every Sunday, every Wednesday. But that's an overriding emphasis because I see the overriding emphasis. You can't read Jesus' teaching except him giving warning after warning after warning to continue the faith. But you know what? We want the sweetness. We don't want any of the bitterness. That is spiritually unhealthy, folks. In fact, remember when Paul was called? He was persecuting Christians. Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus, right? Blinding light, you know? Paul's like blinded for 3 days, but he's called to share the gospel. Paul must have been tripping out because he said he was the chief of sinners, the least of the saints, the least of the apostles. He said all that about himself. But God's putting him in the service, a privilege to serve God. He writes over half the New Testament. And you know what? God calls Ananias to go to Paul to minister to him after he's been blinded. And it says, but the Lord said to him, go, to Ananias that is, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And Paul, when he's hearing that, he's probably like, wow, man. I got to go before kings and serve Jesus. So exciting. But you know what? The very next verse in Acts 19, for I will show you how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And we like to leave that out.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Life, it comes down to just one thing.